here, though. All right, well, welcome to Hebrew Club, the last Hebrew Club of a very long winter quarter, right?
Amen.
And everybody is very grateful for the two-week break, I think, coming up after all the sickness and everything and all that. So we are in, we're going to finish up Psalm 33 today and get into Psalm 34. So we're making very good progress. We finished at verse 18, which is really the beginning of kind of the end section of Psalm 33. So I'm going to start there with that Hine again and then go from there. So verse 18, Hine Ein Adonai El Yereav. So look, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. That Yereav, just remember that that's a participle from a stative verb, Yare. And it's used as a substantive here. And it's plural, those who fear him. Notice the alternation between El and La with the next participle. Me Yachalim, from Yachal, those who wait or hope. Again, this is a PL participle. For chasto, for his chesed, for his mercy or his grace, his steadfastness. All right. Verse 19 then is the new verse. Notice how it continues the thought. Lehatzil mimavet nafsham ulechayotam ba'arav. So notice it's very interesting, kind of just the structure of things. So he's working with participles. With the prepositions in verse 18. And here he switches to infinitive constructs. Lehatzil, to deliver. Hifil, from Natzal. To deliver from death, mavet. Nafsham, their life or their soul, nefesh. Ulechayotam, see that that's from the root chaya, to be alive, and in the PL, to make alive or to preserve alive. So this is a PL infinitive construct. Notice it has that ot ending for third hey verbs. Ulechayotam, to preserve them bara'av, in the famine. All right. Verse 20 then. Nafshenu chiktal Adonai ezreinu u'magineinu hu. So our soul chiktal. Ta. Everybody see what the root is? You probably don't know the root. You may. It's from chaka. It's a third hey root. That's the key. And it means to wait. All right. So it's a synonym with the previous in verse 18. Yachal, notice. All right. This is a PL, third feminine perfect singular. Third feminine singular perfect from chaka. So notice the hey is replaced by the tav there. When you add that comet's hey feminine ending. So it's PL, chikata, chikata. Our soul waits for Yahweh. Ezreinu, our help, from Azar. All right. Ezer, Ezer is the noun. Our help and Magineinu, our shield, is he. Notice that this is from, the word for shield is from Magain, that's the noun. Notice that you have that dagesh forte in the third letter, that nun, because the root is, or the root that it's based on is ganan. Ganan means to fence in or to defend. And so remember, whenever you have a noun that's based on one of those geminate roots, you are going to see that kind of reappearing when you add, when you're plural form or when you're adding a suffix. And that's why you have that dagesh in the nun there. Magineinu. Our shield is he. All right. Any questions through 20? That's good. 21. Kibo yismach libenu, kibashem kodsho batachnu. For in him our heart will rejoice, from Samach. For in his name, or for in the name of his holiness, Nos Kodesh. We've seen this construction before with Kodesh. For by his holy name, or in his holy name, Batachnu, we trust. Call perfect. Notice the lengthening of the vowel under the tet, because it's the Sof Pasuk, it's the end of the verse, it's in pause. Batachnu. All right. For in his holy name we trust. Verse 22. Yehi chastik Adonai aleinu kaasher yichalnu lak. Yehi is, of course, a justice form from haya. May your chesed, O Lord, vocative, may your chesed, Yahweh, be aleinu, upon us. Kaasher, as yichalnu, we hope, lak, for you. That yichalnu is from the root yachal, and it's a piel, perfect, first common plural. So notice that you had the PL participle of this root in verse 18. Here you're getting the PL perfect form of it in verse 22. Kind of in that section, a nice little inclusio wrapping up that section in the end of the psalm. Good. Any questions on that last section? All good? All right. All right. Let's do a few verses of Psalm 34 then. When we get to the 34, is 33 was characterized as a hymn, is usually characterized as a hymn. 34, more of a thanksgiving. Psalm is the category it's usually given. Again, people can differ on that. We have an interesting title here. It's one of those 12 psalms that has a historical title. All right. So it's Le David, Be'shanoto et Tahmo, Lifnei Avimelech, Vayegarashehu Vayelak. Okay, it's Ledavi by David. Notice there will be up there, so you pause. Okay, Be'shanoto. This is, well, you can see that it has the preposition in front of it, so you know right away it's an infinitive construct. And with the ot, you know that it's a third hey infinitive construct, because third heys form their infinitives with that ot. All right? So you know that the root is shana. Everybody see that? Shana. And notice then the conjugation is easy enough because of the dagesh preceded by the short vowel, piel, infinitive construct from shana. And it means to change, shana. So by David, in his changing, notice that the suffix is the subject of the action of the infinitive. In his changing, or when he changed, et tamo, his, now ta'am usually means your taste, but here it seems to mean his sense or his judgment, his mental, he changed his mental, what would you say? His
disposition.
Maybe? Yeah, his mental disposition. All right. Before Avimelech, that's the name of the king, Vayegarashehu, and he garash him, he drove him out. That's a vav consecutive from garash, and notice it is a piel. The shvander, the yud, tells you that. The resh doesn't take the dagesh. It spits it out, and that's why you have a kametz under the gimel. Okay? Vayegarashehu, and he drove him out. Vayelak, and he went. Now notice that last thing is again a preterite formed from what root? Halak. Okay? You would expect it Seire under the Lamed, but again, because of the Sof Pasuk, you have a little different pronunciation, Vayelak. This seems to be referring to an event in 1 Samuel 21, where David was in Gath with the king, Achish. And remember, he acted like he was crazy, like so he started slobbering and all that stuff. That's what that changed his ta'amo is referring to. And so they drove him away. They thought he was crazy. All right, so he acted like he was nuts in order to escape.
You had enough crazy people.
Yeah. So I see it's an interesting historical title. All right.
Kinda. So this is a psalm of thanksgiving after he was driven out?
Evidently. Yeah, and he drove him out and he went. That's what the title is. Now, again, the relationship of the title to the psalm, you know, when was it added? And all those kinds of things is debatable. Sometimes the historical note doesn't seem to line up with what actually happens in the psalm. All right, so you guys can judge for yourselves as we go through this. Notice another interesting thing about this psalm is that it is an acrostic. So you will see as we go through it that every verse starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. All right, so it works itself out really nicely there. So we'll go through it. All right, so we are Tom.
Psalm 34.
We are in Psalm 34.
Awesome.
Just start in verse 2. And Tom will answer any questions that I cannot, actually. Okay. Avaraka et Adonai Bekol. Eight. Tamid Tehilato Bepi. All right, notice that this is a PL. The first one is a PL coordinative from Barak. I will bless, or let me bless, Yahweh. Bekol eight. In every time, we would say, I don't know, all the time, probably more idiomatically. Bekol eight. Okay. Remember, kol is a substantive, and so in every time, I guess is the best way to translate it. Tamid is an adverb, continually. Tehilato, his praise, and you supply the verb is in my mouth. All right, or will be in my mouth, maybe. Okay. Questions through 1, verses 1 and 2. Okay, that's good. Verse 3, Ba'adonai, tit halel nafshi, yishme'u anavim ve yismachu. In Yahweh, my soul will tit halel, will boast. This is, again, a hit halel from halal. All right. Normally occurs in the PL to praise. The hit pile seems to mean to boast. You know, you find your own glory in. All right. But notice his nefesh doesn't find it in himself or in what he's done, but in Yahweh he boasts. Notice again the word order switch. I mean, I think it's just worth noting again that in narrative the volative forms come at the beginning of clauses or the beginning of verses for the most part, 95% of the time. There's a handful of exceptions. So that's how you can kind of tell a jussive from an imperfect when they normally don't shorten. In poetry, that seems to be a general rule of thumb, but it's not always the case. But just notice in verse 2, I translated that avaraka, it's coordinate in form, but it's also first. All right, so that's why I translate it with a more volative sense. He's expressing his wishes. Whereas here in verse 3, notice where the verb comes. It comes second. And so he's also expressing his will, but maybe more of a kind of a determination. This is what I am determined to do or will do. It's worth noting that the kind of modulations in the syntax and see how often that general rule or that rule of thumb can be applied and where it may not be, okay? So again, in Yahweh, my soul will boast. Now notice, see, he switches first again, and I would translate it again, may the anavim hear, see? Or let the anavim, let the humble ones hear, ve'yismechu, and let them rejoice. And you could even translate that ve'yismechu with more of a result or purpose so that they may rejoice. You know, sometimes when you have imperatives followed by vav plus jussives, that's kind of a common thing. But sometimes, when you have these volative forms following each other, the second one has that purpose or result nuance to it. Okay? Good. Any questions for the verse 2 or 3? The bait clause, bait verse. Okay, that's good. All right. Verse 4. Gadlu ladonai ti u nero mema shmo yachdav. All right. Again here, notice the PL imperative. And remember from gadal means in the call to be great. When you move to the PL, it's usually like a factative meaning. Make great, or we would probably say in English, magnify, ladonai. Okay, notice then the lamed functions as a direct object marker. So, magnify, adonai, itti, with me. Alright. U nero mema. So notice here, everybody see what the root is? Here, Jim, this is a kind of a tricky one. Remember we had these at the end of the course? The hollow verbs don't have PLs. They have polales or polals, or okay. So this is from room, to be high. So notice the polal means to, again, make high, exalt. So notice it becomes a synonym with God, Lu. And notice that this is then a cohortative first common plural from room. U nero memma. And let us exalt Shemo, his name, Yachdav, together. Okay?
Are the two mems on Nerumama?
Yeah.
Is that kind of odd?
See, notice that the conjugation is poleil.
Okay.
So you actually, in those hollow verbs, you have the reduplication of that third root letter. That's what, and notice, so notice the way that it's pronounced, Neromema, sounds like a poleil. Nepolela, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's what's happening. It's kind of weird. All right, verse, any other questions? All right, verse 5. Now, see, notice he seems to go, the form of the verb tells us, it's first notice, but again, it's the perfect form. So there's no ambiguity as to, okay, is this a volative, or is he making a prediction, or is he doing something else? So he seems to be going back in time. Especially since we have that historical introduction about this is happening. You know, our tendency now will be to translate this not as a general truth, which we could, but more as a reference to a specific past event. Darashti et Adonai ve'anani. See, I sought Yahweh and he answered me. That anani is again another call from a third hey. When you add the suffix, that hey drops off. It's in pause. You get that comets under the nun, so vet anani. So I sought Yahweh and he answered me. See, in other psalms, in different contexts, you might very well translate that, I seek Yahweh and he answers me, as more of a, this is my general way of proceeding, this is characteristic, you know, general truth kind of thing. But here, if he's referring to the past, I sought Yahweh and he answered me. U mikol megurotai chitzilani, and from all my fears. This is, notice again, megura is the noun. Gur, you guys probably learned it as to sojourn, but gur can also mean to attack, and it also can mean to be afraid. And as typical as Hebrew, you very often add a mem to the root to make a noun. Magur, terror all around, is in another, I can't remember a psalm near here. Terror all around, so here megura. From all my terrors, fears, Hitzi Lani, he delivered me. Jim, the root, you know this one.
Tzion.
From Natzal.
Natzal.
Oh, well. That's all right. He knew it.
I knew it.
He knew it. It's a Hifil. This is one of those words that occurs only in the Hifil. Right?
Do they change conjugation to change meaning, or do you have to know context to know which, that previous word, which meaning?
Oh, yeah, context. Correct.
That'll
yeah,
give
yeah.
you a clue.
But, I mean, to sojourn is probably the most common.
Mm-hmm.
To attack is a little less common, and to be afraid is probably even less common.
Do you know if those are different, considered completely different roots?
Yeah, I think in Hallett you will see them 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
So kind of they don't put them under the same.
They don't try to relate
entry.
Them all.
Right. Right. I don't know what BDB does. I don't think BDB does either. But I can't remember. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions through 5? All right. Hibitu elav venaharu, upnehem al yechparu. Okay, hibitu, that's the hifil. Now look at this, really, this is kind of another interesting, you will see, that it's worth looking at the textual note here. This shows you how tricky Hebrew can be. Navat means, or in the hifil, remember you guys learned this, only occurs in the hifil. To look at, to gaze upon, all right? The form here, though, I'm going to ask you, is it a perfect or is it an imperative? Remember, you have the hirik under the hay, tells you that as the Masoretes have pointed it here, it is a perfect form. Hik-teal versus yak-teal, hak-teal, remember that? So you would translate it in line with verse 5, they looked to him and they shined. But see, here again, the pressure's on me to make it more of a general truth if you're going to keep that. They look to him and they shine, referring way back to the Anavim in verse 3. It's kind of awkward, notice, these two call forms. All right. Notice that if you look at 34 verse 6, you read with some, with a number of manuscripts, with Aquila, with the Syriac, with Jerome. Notice you have, they seem to read it as a imperative. Habitu, you feel imperative. Okay? Then notice the same thing in B. You have certain manuscripts that seem to read that. Look to him and shine, Nahar. All right? I think a lot of, most translations, I think, do the imperative. That's my impression. Because the perfect just seems a little awkward. All right? But I'll let you guys wrestle with that. But as it is in the text, they looked to him and, or they looked to him and they shine. And again, I notice it's still a perfect tense, but now since I'm assuming that his intention is to give a more general truth about the Anavim, that's how I'm translating it as present tense. And their faces, notice you got the Rabia there, a little pause. Now you have another interesting syntactical thing. You have the Al there, followed by the Yef Paru from Kafar, means to be ashamed. Now as soon as you see that Al, you're thinking volative, right? Let them not be ashamed. And their faces, may they never be ashamed, or may they not be ashamed, which works well. But a lot of people don't like that. So they suggest that this Al is one of a few cases, is a really strong, is a stronger form of the negation lo. They will not be ashamed. And as for, so, and their faces, see, they will not be ashamed. So notice the whole line is kind of weird. They looked to him and they shined. Now notice you want to say, take away that vav before the panehem and divide the line differently. They looked to him and their faces shone. See? Otherwise, their faces just is kind of hanging there. And as for their faces, let them not be ashamed, or they will not be ashamed. See? So you have a number of kind of syntactical oddities in that line that you can kind of negotiate your way through. I mean, you could easily say that reduplicated vav, or that vav before the panehem, has been reduplicated, and you know that's the text that you've been given. 6C doesn't really address that.
Changes it from
your faces. Yeah. But the vav, evidently the vav is also in, there's no other evidence that first vav is not there, so really interesting.
Do you know of other places in the Psalms where Nahar is used to shine?
It's a few other places, yeah. Okay. I'll have to check again, but it's a rare meaning, mm-hmm. rather than to flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a rare meaning. I can't think of any more right now. Good. We will do one more verse. Okay, here's another syntactical oddity. Zet ani karav Adonai shamea. Okay, notice the position of the zet. If you want the zet to be modifying the noun, it usually follows it. So a humble one, so you would trade the humble one, the this one. Remember that in beginning grammar? This one, again, there's a handful of cases where the demonstrative actually comes first. So this humble one, kara. Notice it seems to be that's the subject. This humble one called Varunai Shamea, and Yahweh heard. See? Or you could translate, this is a humble one who called and Yahweh heard. I suppose you could negotiate that way too with a just real... But there are other examples where the demonstrative comes first. All right.
Could it be kind of an apposition?
A humble one called. That's not a bad way to do it too. This one, humble, a humble one called and Yahweh heard. See?
Do we give him a little more leeway since it's an acrostic and he's, you know, maybe
right.
it's hard
to... Well, see,
yeah.
maybe
yeah.
for the purposes
many,
of the acrostic,
have
that's
to start
why he
that.
Did it. That could be.
Like trying to start with X in English, maybe.
Yeah, you got to do it. See, so for the purpose of the poetry and the structure, I mean, English poems have to do that all the time. They mess with word order. You go, what the heck are they saying? And then when they get the word order right, it's simple. So.
Yeah, and Zion is Slim Pickens, probably.
Yeah, Zion is for good words. Exactly. Umikol Zarotav, and from all his troubles, Jim, we're on solid ground. Hoshea. He delivered him. Hifil from Yasha. All right? Good. Any questions through 7? We'll stop there. We've been going 25 minutes, so that's good. All right? All right, good. We will stop there, and we will, after the break, take it up with verse 8 and continue through this great song. All right? All right, hang in there and have a great break, everybody. And then we'll, in 35, Psalm 35 is a lament, so we get a different kind of psalm. Cool. Thank you.